In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There is a method of self-inquiry taught by a modern teacher named Byron Katie that is called the work. And the work is a way of engaging those sentences, those thoughts, those patterns of belief that keep us diminished and keep us in a place of suffering and smallness. The first part of the work involves what's called a worksheet that is called Judge Your Neighbor. This is where you write down what you are complaining about the other person. Most people don't find this too hard to do. But the work really hinges on what Byron Katie calls the turnaround. She uses the example of her thinking about her husband and saying, "Paul doesn't respect me." In applying the turnaround, a sentence like that could become, "I don't respect Paul," or perhaps, "I don't respect me." One of the most famous turnarounds in history comes from JFK. In that famous speech where he says, "My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." The turnaround is a way of changing something that has become a crystallized, concrete thing in our minds and in our hearts, and opening up new and unseen aspects of reality, new possibilities of learning, new ways of living, new opportunities of loving. I mention this because our Pentecost reading and this whole foundational festival of our church, Pentecost, is really all about the turnaround. Our Pentecost story has lots of turnarounds. I want to share three of them with you briefly today. First, we hear that these Galilean apostles, these fairly simple folk, are heard speaking in all the languages of the Jewish diaspora. Iranian languages, like those of Parthians and Medes. Turkish languages, like those of Cappadocia and Pontus. Indo-European languages like Greek and Latin, and of course Semitic languages like Coptic, Arabic, Aramaic. The crowd says, "In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." This is a turnaround. If you go a few pages back in the Bible, well, maybe more than a few pages back, into that first book of Genesis, we have this kind of strange but wonderful story of the building of the city and tower of Babel. According to this story, all the peoples of the earth spoke one language, and they started erecting this great city and this great tower to reach God. But God is not so pleased with their egotism. And in smiting this tower, it's great when you get to use the verb smite, in smiting this tower, God also creates all these languages so people can no longer understand one another. God confounds their speech. And we see this in a play on words in the story itself. Babel, related to the word balal, which means to mix something up or jumble it up in Hebrew. If what they built was historical, scholars say it's tied to the tyrant Nimrod. And Nimrod was someone who took farmers and herders from their lands and forced them to work as slaves for his building projects. And so one way we can understand this original story that would be part of the context of the hearers and participators in this great story of Pentecost is that what God has said no to in Babel, that is, coming together for the glory of human ego, coming together in a way that suppresses the poor, coming together in a way that builds supposedly great things on the backs of the marginalized, is what creates scatteredness and division and misunderstanding in our world. But today we get the turnaround. Today Babel is undone. We hear that everyone is understanding everything that is said from all over the Jewish world. What we see here is community rather than division. We see community building up. And what kind of community is this? Well, the author of Acts goes on later in the book to tell us. It's a community where people shared what they had in common. where people worked for the good of their neighbors, where people found new ways to turn around how their society had enculturated them in order to live and to love in ways that built up life to the glory of God. But that's not all we have in our story today. Here's a second turnaround. There's a story from the book of Deuteronomy. Again, a story that would have been known to the authors and readers and experiencers of this first Pentecost, where Joshua comes to Moses. Remember, Moses had led the people across the Red Sea, and Joshua was kind of his main general, his kind of second in command. And Joshua comes to Moses, and he comes to tattle. Joshua says to Moses that there are some people who are prophesying in the camp, and they're not one of the 70 people particularly appointed by Moses to do this. And Joshua wants Moses to make them stop. He says, "My Lord Moses, stop them." But Moses answers Joshua and says, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Today, Moses gets his wish. The eruption of this holy chaos that we read about today, the awakening of this mass prophetic ecstasy among the disciples and followers of Jesus, happens right in Jerusalem itself. It's tied in with the temple, a place that for many Jews of the first century symbolized the ultimate location of hierarchical power and limited access to holiness. And let's remember, in the first century, religious power and secular power were really one kind of power. And so the tight-fisted grasp on power is released today. There's a turnaround here that happens where we see that all the disciples become prophets of God. We hear about this great coming of the Spirit, and the author is trying to explain something that is really beyond our languaging, right? It's talked about as wind, it's talked about as fire. Later in Acts, we hear the Spirit coming on people as they engage water in baptism, all the great elements of our life. And these tongues of flame, this mighty wind, doesn't land on or circle around just a few, but on everyone there. So this great turnaround has God saying no to power, especially religious power, theological power, being held by only a few, but saying yes to the immediate accessibility of Christ to all who seek Him. And there's a third turnaround, and this one's my favorite. This is Peter quoting from the prophet Joel. Now, originally, this prophetic piece, if you go back to the book of Joel, you'll see it's kind of a dark thing. This is not a good thing that Joel initially is talking about. Joel is talking about an end of an age, and it's not something anybody, not even Joel, is really looking forward to. It's a time of harsh judgment, a time of suffering. But Peter turns this around, and in the same words, he sees the coming of a new age. In the same words where Joel sees death, Peter finds life. He finds something to celebrate, something to anticipate, something to embrace, something to run out and engage in. In times of great change, some of us see death. Some of us see life. Scientists who study such things say that as an infant is born, its vital signs, which strangely enough can be monitored apparently, its vital signs and its hormone levels mirror exactly those of someone who knows they are approaching death. Where some see death, others see birth. And whether we see death or new life, death or birth, makes all the difference. Think about how we engage death and how we engage birth. When we engage death, appropriately enough, we memorialize, we look back, we grieve, and we miss what no longer is, or whom no longer is. But in the world of birth, We change the rooms of our homes. We buy cute little outfits. We are investing ourselves in something that is yet to come. I think this is the third and great turnaround in our Pentecost story. And so if we want to be Pentecost people, we've got to become good at this turnaround. We can practice this a little bit together. I found myself saying, viewing some of the sad stories in the news these days, I live in an unconscious and racist country. And that makes me sad and feel small. It makes me feel complicit and powerless. But I can turn that around. And I can turn that around and say, I live in a country that is becoming more conscious of its racism. In that kind of Pentecostal turnaround, now I hear hope. Now I find that I can engage the world and be part of something coming to birth, something much more beautiful than what we may have known before. Or in terms of our continued dealing with this pandemic, I find myself saying, COVID-19 is dismantling our society. But when I find myself saying that again, there is no new life there. There is no wind. There is no flame. There is no water. But if I turn it around, I can see how many researchers around the world are saying our society is dismantling COVID-19 as we continue to figure out how to work medically with this virus. Or I might say to myself, COVID-19 has reinvigorated our society. I have connected with so many people that I otherwise would not have had the time, space, or technological know-how to reach out and see. When I am together with people, it feels virtually sacramental to me now, where it was an unconscious, taken for granted kind of thing before. These are the kind of turns around that we can apply to our everyday life to bring that fire of Pentecost, to gather that wind of Pentecost, to immerse ourselves in the waters of baptism that bring the Spirit, to change our minds, change our hearts, and change our world. In mastering the turnaround, we become people of Pentecost. We become that wind, that flame, that living embodiment of the kind of joyful prophecy that we hear about today. This is the stuff where Pentecost matters. The areas of sadness, the areas of smallness, of stifledness, of depression, all the sentences that happen in our minds or in our community or in our whole world that keep us from the dream God dreams for us. Those are the places that wind and flame want to engage. And finally, one last turnaround. In our third lesson today, we hear in a particular way that Jesus breathes upon his apostles. And again, this takes us way back to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, as you may know, there are two stories of creation. And in one of those stories, God creates these two human beings out of clay and breathes God's Spirit into them, bringing them to life. Certainly, this is a day of new life. Certainly, this is a time in our society where we can have a new life. Certainly, Pentecost has come again. Amen.